happier with that.
Amen.
Well, Timmy did as best he could to sit on my notes here, so maybe half of them will be gone. No, believe it or not, I knew I was going first tonight. Mr. Moore never told me. One, I thought I had the message for tonight last night. Kind of like, oh, that's fine. And I went to bed nice and peaceful like. Woke up this morning kind of early. Slept in a little longer than I could. Did a minuscule little prayer. Then I got in my car and I normally pray to God as I drive to work. And I was like, oh, God, I forgot to pray on the armor of God today. So I started talking to God about the armor of God, prayed on the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. And then I got to shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel. And me and God got a little sidetracked there for about 25 minutes on my way to work. So I kind of had to rush the end of the armor of God this morning. But we got there and I was just talking to God about it. I was like, he showed me a bunch of different things about it, just different thoughts that had been connecting with different things he'd showed me out the last few weeks. Just brought them all together in my mind, so I hope I can bring them together in your guys' mind tonight. If not, God gave it to me, so amen for that. Amen. Y'all can just listen to what he gave to me, and I'll know what it means. But to be honest, I thank God for it this morning, just because I thought about the wreck I'd been the last few weeks just acting towards him, especially the last few days and everything, and I just told him, God, you don't have to be this good to me. He doesn't have to be that good to me. I don't deserve any of his goodness. It's by his mercy and everything that he gives it. So we're just going to read through the armor of God real quick. So Ephesians 6:10. This might be things some of you already know, but I don't know. I'm still a babe in Christ. I came into salvation and God gave me one understanding from one half of a verse. And that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And since then, he's just taught me different things from his Bible, his word. So we're going to be talking a lot about the word tonight. It just might not seem like that. So we're going to be talking about the way of God and man's way, because they're completely different ways. And both of those have to do with the word of God. So Ephesians 6:10, we're going to go all the way through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrest not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of the the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Many different parts of the armor in here require the word of God. Because you have, let's just go to 16 real quick. Or let's start at the last one. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That one straight up says it. It's the word of God. That's this. Now, let's just go back one more. We'll get to the shodding your feet, the preparation of gospel. It says, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So, where does faith come from? So keep your finger here. This is the first time I've ever done this, so this is exciting for everybody. This is the first time I've ever told you to keep your finger in one place, because we're coming right back here after this. But let's go to Romans 10. Going to go to Romans 10. I believe we're going to start in 12. Romans 10, 12. I usually start pretty far back in verses that everything so we can kind of get the context. Because I don't want to take these things out of context, and I don't know what God's going to use to show you different things from his word. God showed me things that it didn't seem like the man was preaching on, but God showed me things from just him reading through the references. That's why I do that. If you think, he's just doing this to pad time. No, I talk like this to pad time. We're going to start at verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So where does faith come from? By hearing. Where does hearing come from? By the word of God. So if you have a shield of faith, where does it come from? The word of God. So we're just going to work our way down through my notes, how I wrote them down, which is in no particular order. It's going to seem like I'm jumping all over the place, because I am. That's just how I wrote them down today, because God gave me a message while I was in the car, and I didn't bring my big notebook, even though he told me to. I brought my little one. I had to scribble notes in that. So thank you, Mrs. Asquith, for giving me your garbage. She gave me a little tiny notebook she was going to throw out covered in flowers and everything. I carry that into work. I'm fine with it. I don't care. Let's back up to, before we leave this, let's actually go back to what had brought this onto my mind. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So it's a gospel of peace. Let's look at someone who doesn't have peace. Because they're not in that way. This is what this is going to be about. The way of God. And how the word can keep you there. So we're going to go back to Romans. Romans 3. I would like to pretend I prepared this verse way in advance. But this is the very last verse God gave it to me. And I was sitting right there when he gave it to me. So we're going to go Romans 3. 10 through 18. So there's a lot of reading through here. But if you don't want to read along with me, just listen. I'll try to read it the best I can. If I mess up, I'm going to stop and attempt to read it again. So if I stutter a little bit, that's why. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We're going to stop right there for a second. What does it say? They are all gone out of the way. What is the way? Jesus. Jesus is the way. It's the way of the truth and life. Life. We will read that verse later, too. So if I mess it up now, just pretend I didn't say it. Let's continue on. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Again, their ways. Destruction and misery are in their ways. That's not God's way. And the way of peace have they not known. So you shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And they don't know that way of peace. Because they have not shod their feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The reason this is important to me is me and Timmy have talked a little bit about this thing, and God just brought to my mind. A lot of people pray and fast, and that's very important. They want to get an answer from God. They want to know what way God wants them to go. But you know what they don't do? They don't go to the one place he'll respond to them from. Because how will God speak to you with the word? That's why I'm talking about this tonight, because we do all these things. We want God's answer and his leading and all that. But we don't go to the one place that God will respond to us from. That's why I was so overjoyed today when I was talking about God to God about shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Of peace. I should add that in there. That is very important. Because he was bringing verses to mind. It wasn't him bringing thoughts or feelings to mind. He brought verses to mind. So when you're looking for God's leading, look for verses. Look for doctrine. Those things. Don't just, I have a feeling this is right. I have a lot of feelings. I could use some quotes. I just don't know if it'd be appropriate here. Just eat a bad taco. Feelings, come on. I don't know if that's appropriate. It may offend people, but I'm an offensive person. You can ask anybody. I do that a lot.
Amen.
Thank you. Who invited Sam? Now, where were we? Let us see where I want to jump to next. Yeah, let's go to John 14. I quoted this to you guys just a second ago. Now we'll go here so I can get the actual proper way it says it. This verse helped me many, many months ago. Which I thought I was going to be preaching on temptation tonight, believe it or not. Which I won't be. The next time I preach, I will be preaching on temptation. But this goes into that. This verse helped me greatly with that. I was listening to a man preach on it, and he just gave me an understanding in an area I had not understood the Bible. So John 14, 3 through 6. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So you know that way, says it. That way is Jesus Christ. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how we can know the way. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the way. Now, why was that important to me? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Whoever hears me preach on temptation will hear this spoke of again, because it's important to hear. It's important to remind yourself of those things of God. Because shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel, that means you have it prepared. That means you look into this. You have it prepared. You're reading the word of God. You're memorizing the word of God, which I struggle with greatly. You can ask Timmy, it took me probably 2 hours to memorize one verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. But just memorizing that verse has been such a great help to me over this last month.
Amen.
That any time just wicked thoughts enter my mind, I can just start quoting that to myself. And I've discovered that if wicked thoughts and everything are in my mind, I'm in a bad mood or something, I can sing hymns and they're good, but those thoughts will still be in my mind while I'm doing that. But when I'm quoting verses to myself, those thoughts are really hard to stay in there. They usually just, I don't know if that's the same for you, but God has helped me with that. He may not help you with it, I don't know. I just know what God's done in my life. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 10. Ooh, Did I write down the wrong reference? Probably did. No, never mind. Always go to the last verse you wrote on here. I was looking one verse early. Okay, so we're going to start at verse 10. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. They are written for an admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, this is a verse that I heard a man preaching on that helped me greatly, in that he just preached that there's a difference between burdens and temptations. Because in my mind, I'd never made that connection, so I equated them as the same, which would make the Bible contradict itself. But the Bible can't contradict itself. So in my mind, I'm like trying to figure that out, but God just showed me one day. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. The reason that was so good to me, man preached on that there's a difference between burdens and temptations, is God will put a burden on you that you can't bear, that you need to go to him about. But God doesn't lay temptations on people, and he won't put it, there will not be a temptation ever on you that you can't get out of, because he makes a way of escape. Now, what is that way of escape? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when you're in those things, you go to Jesus. And what is Jesus? I spoke on a little bit. The Word. Now, let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 30. So next one I have written here might not fit in with the narrative I've started, but God can deal with that. Isaiah 30, we're going to start at 19. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Crying unto God. That's what they're doing. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word, and behind, sorry, misspoke there. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. You'll hear a word behind. You cry unto God. You'll hear a word behind, and he says, walk in the way. You know what helped me get out of these troubles I was going through? Because these were things I decided myself. The pastor had talked about sinning willfully, which is what I did. I've never had, I don't want to say excuse because it sounds bad, but I've never fallen into sin. I've always walked into it. There is no excuse. I always, because God has given me the way. God gave me this way of escape. Probably a year ago, he showed that to me. So when I think about those things, if I want to get angry with somebody, God has never failed to bring to mind the Word of God, the way of escape, and I have to make a decision there. Do I want to go in God's way? Or do I want to go in my way? Let's see. Let's go to Psalm 119. Let me show you what my way can bring. Psalm 119, we're going to go to verse 9. This is a very commonly quoted one. Well, my way will come after this. Sorry. I pulled up the wrong one, but we'll go here because I like this verse. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. This is right there. Take heed to his word. That's how you cleanse your way. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. God gives commandments. We wander away. All of a sudden, we're not in his way. Because we wandered. We stepped off that path. Which, I have a verse for how to get back to that path. Stephen knows one of them I'm probably going to preach here. I sent it to him the other day. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. The way of his testimonies. Those things God said. You rejoice in them. Amen. There's no better time than rejoicing when you're in the way. Amen. I don't remember the man who preached it, but he had preached, be in the way of God. He used that as a funny title, which it is a funny title, because how do we use being in the way nowadays? You're in somebody's way. Mm-hmm. But you want to be. Because it talks about many times in the Bible, and we may get there if I find the verses in my notes, they're scrambled. But it talks about God leading us in that way. And that's who we want to follow. People talk about the walking side by side with God, which you can. But it also talks about him leading in that way and us following. Because I'd rather follow God. It's a lot harder to step off his way when you're following him. If you decide to run ahead of him, then you might have issues. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Do you have respect unto the ways of God? Do you truly care about them? Because the Bible almost always talks about respect negatively when it talks about men. But every time it talks about God, it says to respect God, respect his word, respect his ways. What are his ways? The word of God is his way. And we'll just finish up this last little part. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You know why you won't forget the word? Because you shod your feet in the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is preparation? You prepare beforehand. Anyone here know what meal prepping is? You prep it the night before so it benefits you the next day. So when you're shodding your feet in the preparation of the gospel of peace, what are you doing? You're prepping yourself before so it can benefit you later. Amen. Let's just say you do get out of his way. Since we're in Psalms, we'll go there. Let's go to Psalm 85. Verse 13. Psalm 85, 13. Righteousness shall go before him. Righteousness. Who's righteous? Jesus Christ. So righteousness going before him. And shall set us in the way of his steps. Can you be in the way of Jesus' steps when you decide to run ahead of him? No. You follow God. You follow Jesus Christ. You shod your feet. Why do you shod your feet? Because you're walking in that way. I don't know about you guys. I mean, I don't think any of the Balos are here, but they used to run around barefoot all the time. They had pretty tough feet, but there's some places you just don't want to go barefoot, especially when God's leading and leading you through temptation. I don't want to go barefoot there. The temptations of my life are disgusting. Why would I want to go barefoot? Anyone own a dog? Do you want to go barefoot out where you let your dog out? Nope. Shod your feet.
Amen.
You're welcome. For keeping the dog, you mean? No, but what's important about this, it says, and shall set us in the way of his steps. How do we get into the way of his steps? We didn't step back in there. He set us. That's when we cried unto him, and we hear that voice behind us saying, go into my way. Then he sets us in his way. We'll just go to Psalm 18, because I like this verse. Psalm 18, 30. I say that. All the verses that I can remember from the Bible I like, by the way. It's not like I have ones I dislike. There's some that hurt a lot more when I read them, but others bring me joy. It's talking about God's way here in Psalm 18, 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Which, if you want to hear about that buckler, ask me later. You can ask Stephen and Timothy. I talk about it a lot. Because I really like that buckler. But it says, as for God, his way is perfect. God's way is perfect. Is man's way perfect? No. Let's go to Psalm 1. Hopefully this goes with that, or it's going to look really weird. I see the verse. Then we'll, after this, we'll go to Proverbs, so be ready for that. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. True. Not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. God calls you blessed. So who would you be walking with? In the way of God. But there's also something else you can do. You don't even have to be walking. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. It talks about you standing in the way of sinners. You're not even walking. You're just standing there. You're just amongst it. You decided to be there. Oh, but he goes even further. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You're not putting any effort in there to be amongst sinners. You're not doing anything, but you're still sitting amongst them. Now, I'm not saying don't talk to sinners. Don't talk to the unsaved. We just had dinner with my younger brother. He's lost. He knows he's lost. He's admitted it. But we don't try to live his ways. We don't live in that way. We don't stand in that way. Don't even sit in that way. Let them know that there's something different. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I don't know who else is struggling with this, but the song's playing in my head. It's really hard not to sing these verses out for me. So you should just thank God that I'm really reining that in. And he shall... Thank you, Sam. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So what happens to the ungodly? Where does their way lead? They perish. Why would you ever want to walk in that way?
Amen.
And it's not hard. to stay in God's way. But what does God say again about man's way? Let's go to Proverbs 16. I don't know when I started, so I'll just keep going. Proverbs 16, 17. Ready? It's going to start with God's way. Proverbs 16, verse 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Highway is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. So whose way? God's way. To the perseverance of your soul. That's a word. It might be. I don't know. Only the pastor knows some good. I don't think he'll speak up and correct me. Mrs. Asquith, on the other hand, in an instant. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. This is the verse that I wanted to get to here. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The end thereof is the ways of death. And I believe every single person here is a man, and I don't mean that as gender-wise. I'm talking about the biblical definitions, we're all mankind. Our ways, the way we think, if we don't get God's mind on this, it's the ways of death. Now, does it say the ways of a lost man? Because I can tell you many times I've decided I'm going to try it my own way, fight against God on things, and there's been times I'm pretty sure God was close to killing me. I went to bed one night, got myself relatively decent laying in bed, because I'm like, well, I feel like I'm going to die tonight. And I did. I really thought I did, was going to. But God showed mercy to me that night. I don't say that out of a frivolous-like thing. I genuinely believe God was just about fed up with me. Because from the moment of salvation, I've pretty much fought him on almost every single thing. Everyone talks about that great peace you have with God, which I did. I had it for about 18 hours before I decided to try my own way. And then I went through a long time trying to figure those things of God out without ever going to his word. That's why this is important to me, going to his word. Preparing yourself in his word. Let's go to a very similar proverb, Proverb 14. They're almost identical in the part where it talks about there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I believe there's just one word difference. And honestly, I don't know why there's one word different. I really don't. God hasn't showed that to me yet. Pastor probably knows. You can ask him about it, and he'll tell you to study it out. I'm just kidding about that. Pastor has helped me greatly with things I've asked him. And there's other times he tells me to study it out. So take a gamble there. Proverbs 14, we're going to start at verse 2. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. Stephen spoke a little bit about fearing the Lord last night. It says, when he walketh in uprightness, feareth the Lord. So you're walking in God's way. You fear him. I do have a fearful God. I fear God at times. I'll do something and I'm like, oh no. No, I don't say that. No, I do. He's a very fearful God, the things he can do. But he's a merciful God. He showed me much mercy. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Let's go back real quick. I forgot to expound a little bit, which is only a little bit. It is probably not all God has to say about verse 2. But he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. So when you're not in God's way, you're in your own ways, you're perverse in your ways, who do you despise? Despise God. That's for saved folk too. Because God gave you a way to escape those things. And that way is Jesus Christ. The way is the Word. So by not taking that way, you despise God. I say that as someone who's many times not taken that way of escape. I don't say that just to bash you guys. God has showed me this stuff out of mercy and goodness. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen or the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. How can you be prudent? Understand God's ways. You can be a prudent person, you just got to understand his ways. What are his ways? His commandments, his statutes, his law, his word, all of this. Do you have to have an 100% understanding? No. You don't. Can you have an 100% understanding? I don't know. God hasn't given me understanding on that yet. That's a nice cop-out right there. Let's keep going on here. We're almost there. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It says there again, the end thereof is the ways of death. The word that's different is which. I don't know why it used that word here differently, but I believe there's a reason for it. Amen. God just doesn't flippantly change things. I just don't know what it is yet, but I believe God will show me someday. Amen. Whether he shows me on earth or in heaven, we'll find out. You'll either see me rejoicing down here or see me rejoicing up there when I find out. Now, let's go and talk a little bit about how God can help lead you in his way. Let's go back to Psalm 119. Actually, change that. We'll go there in a second. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians and see what Paul says real quick. It's a shorter read, so it'll be real fast. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I wanted to send you guys all the way across the Bible so I could get here first and feel good about myself. First Thessalonians 3, verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. So what does he do? He directs your way. He can direct your way. He's talking about directs his way unto the Thessalonians. But he was still following God's way because that's the way God would have had him go. Now, let's go to Psalm 119. Bet you're all shocked how short I was at reading that verse. Psalm 119, let's go to verse 97. That's where we're going to start. And we're going to read all the way down through verse 6. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Stop right there. What's he done? He's refrained his feet from every evil way. For a reason, that I might keep thy word. So you stay off those evil ways, where must you be then? In God's way. And it's so you can keep his word. You having trouble following the commandments of God? Have you kept your feet from the evil ways? I've told Stephen and Timmy this the other day. It's really easy to live spiritually when you're living spiritually. There's nothing hard about that because you're already living it. And it's easy because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It gets real hard when you decide to step off and do it your own way. Now let's go to, where was I? Verse 101. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Don't depart from the judgments of God. That's pretty simple there. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The word of God is sweet, especially if you're in his way. It's real sweet. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Do you hate every false way? Those way of a man? Those ways you come up with, those aren't the ways of God. Those are the false ways. You might think you have God's mind on it when you go in that way, but did God give you that way or did you come up with that? Now right here is one of my favorite parts about Jesus Christ being the way. And him being before us, being set in his steps, because thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He lights the way for us. He lights it at our feet. We can see where we're going. He's leading us, but he's also with us lighting that path. He'll set us in that way. He's given us every single thing we need to stay in the way. But we decide to get out of it. Now let's end with Luke 1, verse 79. Luke 1, verse 79. Everyone's there before me. Luke 1, verse 79. Ready? To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen. I didn't expect it to come down around that way. What do you shod your feet with? The preparation of the gospel of peace. Jesus Christ guides us through those things because he is that lamp unto our feet. And it says right there, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So all I'm here to say tonight is stay in God's way. Obey God's way. Go to his word when you're trying to find God's way. Let him guide your life. Don't come up with it on your own. Thank you, Mr. Morey. I'm done.
You know, this world, they're searching for peace. And then when you tell them, you know, Jesus is that peace. And you point to the word of God and tell them that is the peace. They don't want that peace. They're looking for a worldly peace. They're not looking for the peace that passes all understanding. They don't want that peace, you know, when you offer it to them. And so, brother, thank you so much for that challenge. You know, it challenged me because every morning I used to get up and pray the armor of God. I prayed that faithfully for a long, long time. And I've just been slacking in it. I appreciate that challenge. It's, you know what it is? It's the word of God. You're praying that on and asking God, show me what I can use today. So many times, brother, heading to the jail, God would just stop me as I'm praying the armor of God, and he'd show me exactly what I needed to use that day. And you know what, Pastor? When I used it, it worked perfectly. Amen. Perfectly. The problem is I try to do things in my own way. And when he said that tonight, I was like, wow. Because for 2.5 years, I tried doing some things my way. And 2 weeks ago, Monday, God sat me down at the desk and said, I'm done your way. You know how he showed me that? I can't count the amount of times, brother, God directed my life, my family, and my ministry by verses. By verses. Why? This is where the answer's at. It's where the answer's at. You want confirmation? God will give it to you in his word. He'll give you direction in his word. Why else do we need this Bible then? So think about that, brother. I appreciate you bringing that for us tonight. I believe we needed to hear that tonight, but I believe even more so people need to take heed to it. Need to listen to what was said. Don't just, you know, oh, that was good. Oh, you know, good one, Peter. No, let's not give him accolades on that. Let's look at, let's say, let's let him see in a month that we're really following what he said. Amen. But wouldn't it be wonderful, Stephen, if you looked at some people who don't fear God tonight and see him in a month or 2 months from now and they had the fear of God in their life and maybe God has done something for them? Amen. How about that, those who are trying to justify themselves there? Brother, could you imagine, Kyle, in a month or two? That's the real, look at, whatever is preached here this week, if it's been any benefit, we'll see it in a month or two. If it's just something to fly by night, then it's just going to pass away in the next few days. It won't be anymore. Is that what you want? Is that what you've come here to spend 4 nights to sit here, listen to these young preachers preach just to leave here and be the same you've always been? Is that what it's about? That's what the world calls revival. That's what the world calls revival. They'll sit there night after night after night after night here preaching, agree with it, and leave the same that they came in at the beginning of that revival. How about it be different this time?
Yes.
How about us take heed to what God has for us already? And we're just beginning. It's only night number two. We still got Saturday night. I know, and people are like, man, you know, it gets taxing. But if it was a football game, NASCAR, or anything, whatever you love in life to do and you don't get bored at, this ought to take precedence over it. But you get bored in church quicker than you do anything else. Brother, I've never seen in my life so many people come to church to take naps. Because the Word of God doesn't have their heart anymore. It's just a thing they do. Let me just tell you this. Coming to church is not something me and my family do. It's who we are. Since we become saved, it's who we are. It's not just something we do. I don't have to be here. I don't have to come to church. I want to. Man, Peter, do you think tonight that it was, or Peter, do you think tonight, I was thinking of Peter and looking at, do you think tonight, honestly, that I said, wow, man, I could really be sitting back in my recliner. I got to go to church. Darn. God, take me to heaven if I ever get an attitude like that. And I spend months and weeks at a time sitting in church pews. You come a few nights and think, man, I've just done everything. No, you have done nothing. You ought to let God work in your life. Why don't you come get in our shoes and see how much of a vacation it is sitting in church pews night after night after night, week after week after week after week after week after week after week.
Love it.
I love it. You got to sit here the next four nights and leave out of here the same way you came in. Shame. It's a shame. It's a shame, but that's the day and age. And so Brother Joe and Teresa are going to come up here. They're going to do a song for us. And then after that song, if you need to take 5 minutes, please do. But try to keep it at 5 minutes because we have one more preacher to go. If you can't handle the preaching, you go ahead and go out of here. The Holy Ghost.